Imagine this. You are part of an ancient tribe. Another tribe raids your hunting grounds, steals your food, mocks your warriors. What do? You strike back, hard. Not necessarily because it's smart, but because not retaliating could mark you as weak. Now, fast forward thousands of years, today's nations don't hurl spears. They hurl tariffs, retaliation tariffs, trade sanctions, economic body blows. And underneath the modern headlines, the ancient primal instinct for revenge and rivalry is alive and well.
You are listening to The Mammoth in the Room, a podcast dedicated to sharing science-backed leadership strategies for real-world success.
Welcome back to The Mammoth in the Room, where we explore leadership lessons that stand the test of time. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, CEO of Mammoth Leadership Sciences. And you are tuning into part two of our special three-part miniseries, Tariffs and Tribalism, Hidden Forces Behind Global Economic Slowdowns. You definitely want to stick with me until the end, because today we're diving into why leaders escalate conflicts that nobody wins, and how you can lead smarter when the fires of retaliation rage around you. All right, let's get started and ask why retaliation feels so right and goes so wrong. Evolution wired humans for reciprocity, and not just the friendly kind. In the ancestral world, when someone cheated or attacked you, swift retaliation sent a clear message. Don't mess with us. It wasn't about logic, it was about survival. Robert Trivers, in his groundbreaking work on reciprocal altruism, 1971, and again we have the literature in the show notes, showed that the ability to reward cooperation and punish betrayal was crucial to the evolution of human society. Punishing cheaters, even at the cost to ourselves, helped protect the group. And this deep programming still drives leadership decisions today. The problem? In a global economy, revenge often costs more than it saves. But under stress, leaders and the groups they lead can get hijacked by the primal urge to get even if it drags everyone down. Stick with me, because in a moment we'll look at two explosive examples where retaliation instincts hijacked smart strategy and backfired spectacularly. Look, trade wars most of the time become a vicious cycle. Tariffs often start small, protect our farmers, punish unfair practices, send a message. But then retaliation begins. Each side raises the stakes. Each side digs in, and each side fears looking weak more than they fear losing money. And suddenly, what started as a tactical move spirals into an emotional arms race. Because backing down feels like losing status. And evolution taught us, lose status, lose power, lose everything. Leaders must recognize when strategy quietly gives way to status anxiety and know how to stop the spiral. So, here are the promised two explosive historical cases. First one, Nixon's 1971 economic shock. The US economy in 1971 was in trouble, facing inflation, a weakening dollar, and rising imports. President Richard Nixon took drastic action. Suspended the dollar's convertibility to gold, abandoning the Bretton Woods system, imposed a 10% tariff surcharge on imports, froze wages and prices domestically. The import surcharge was classic retaliation. You hurt our economy, we'll hit your exports. The goal? Force trading partners like Japan and Germany to realign currency values. The result? Furious allies. Trade tensions exploding. Emergency summits to prevent a global economic slowdown. Although Nixon's team did extract some concessions, the damage to US credibility lingered for decades. Why? Because the action signaled, we'll break the rules if it suits us. And nothing triggers more counter-retaliation than a perceived betrayal of trust. Lesson? Quick revenge might win a battle, but it loses a war for trust. And then case number two, the chicken war tariffs. Here's one you might not expect. In the early 1960s, European nations worried about cheap American chicken flooding their markets. They slapped tariffs on US poultry. And the US? Oh, they retaliated hard. In 1964, President Lyndon Johnson imposed a 25% tariff on imported light trucks, targeting German automakers like Volkswagen, who dominated the US small truck market. This chicken tax was retaliation pure and simple. You tax our chicken, we'll tax your trucks. But here's the kicker. The chicken dispute faded. The light truck tariff never went away. It still exists today, over 60 years later. That one act of retaliation reshaped the global auto industry. It protected US truck makers from foreign competition. It raised prices for American consumers. It distorted innovation and trade for generations. All because leaders let short-term revenge set long-term policy. So, what can smart leaders do differently? Because if you're not careful, the primal urge for revenge will hijack your leadership. But there's a better way. And I give you three concrete strategies you can start using today. Ready? Here we go. First, ask, is this about strategy or status? When you feel the surge, the need to hit back, pause. Ask, am I retaliating to win strategically or am I retaliating to save face? If it is about saving face only, be cautious. Status anxiety often triggers catastrophic moves. Real leaders prioritize outcomes over ego. Number two, redefine winning. In ancient tribes, survival meant beating the rival. In modern economies, survival often means building alliances. Winning isn't about humiliating your opponent. It's about creating conditions where both sides can thrive, and you thrive even more. Great leaders define victory away from punishing others towards strengthening their own tribe sustainably. And third, de-escalate without looking weak. This is actually a leadership superpower. Strong leaders know how to lower the temperature without losing respect. They offer private deals, symbolic wins for the other side, face-saving exits. Just like great negotiators in history, they allow opponents to walk away with dignity, even when they've lost. In evolutionary terms, this taps into the deeper instinct of reciprocity over annihilation and builds future allies instead of endless enemies. All right, let's bring this home. How do we raise above the urge to strike back? Look, the instinct to retaliate is powerful. It feels righteous. It feels strong. But often it's a trap. Retaliation can escalate conflict, destroy trust, lock you into bad positions for decades. Smart leadership today demands something better. Recognize status anxiety when it whispers in your ear. Redefine victory as building strength, not scoring hits. And de-escalate strategically, not emotionally. Because in today's interconnected world, the true winners aren't the ones who swing first or hit hardest. They're the ones who stay calm, stay focused, and lead wisely through the storm. All right, this was it for today. If you found this episode valuable, subscribe, rate, and share it with anyone who's passionate about leadership. And don't miss next time's grand finale of this mini-series. We'll explore how the best leaders stop fighting altogether and start building powerful alliances instead. And lastly, if you're interested in more, you can order my book. It has the same title as this podcast, The Mammoth in the Room. It offers a practical roadmap how great leaders and their teams embrace evolutionary truths for outstanding business results. And it does that in three sections, on people, on strategy, and on implementation. Until then, lead wisely, think critically, and use your knowledge about evolutionary instincts to upscale your modern leadership. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, and this is The Mammoth in the Room.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this content, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you on the next episode of The Mammoth in the Room.